Welcome to Outcomes the Sun Radio Podcast. You are listening to us, me, Mariel Hemingway, and my wonderful co-host, Melissa Yamaguchi. You're listening to us on Lit Live, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you're getting your podcasts. We're so happy to have you here. Today, we've got a really interesting show. We're talking to a friend of mine who I introduced to you, Melissa.
Yes.
Pepper, and I love Pepper. It was very funny. She just found out a couple days ago that my nickname used to be Pepper, and my first AOL address was Pepper. Years and
your nickname was Pepper?
Yeah.
I mean, how did you get that nickname? I got to find the segue because that's not smooth. How did you go from Marielle to Pepper?
I gave myself that. And then Karen. Dog Pepper. I don't know.
Was it from the commercial when we were kids? I'm a Pepper, you're a Pepper, we're a Pepper too. Did you want to be Pepper? Or was it from Pepper from the Barbie world? Oh. Pepper was a cute little spicy cousin, wasn't she?
I like Pepper. Yeah, see?
Hey.
Yeah, I like Skipper and Pepper.
Skipper and Pepper. You be Skipper, I'll be Pepper. You're a blonde, I'm a brunette. We can be Skipper and Pepper. This is our new, What is it? Our aliases on AOL.com. Yahoo.com. Pepper.
I know. Oh my gosh.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So since we're going to talk to Pepper, let's talk about what we did with her.
Hey,
so, yeah. A week ago, it was about a week ago or 10 days ago.
It was just about a week and a half ago. Yeah.
She came up and she did two things. So she came up with a machine. It's called Thermage. And the Thermage machine is it's frequency. It's not laser. It's
right.
Frequency. And it goes in and goes to a very deep level of your skin. And I'm going to get this all wrong, but who cares? But my understanding is it goes to a deep level of the skin, activates your collagen, so that you can make your own collagen, but you see results right away. Just you see like that your skin feels tighter and brighter, but you really see the results after like 3 months because it goes so deep that it's like, it's turning on things that have been turned off in your body, which I find so fascinating. I mean, yes, it's a technology. Yes. And that's worth a discussion for you and I is, am I not happy with growing older? Yes, I am. I think growing older is amazing, but I want to do it gracefully and why shouldn't I do it so that I can be as healthy and look as good as possible without doing things that are,
Yeah. Listen, first of all, you said it goes in deeper and deeper, and all I could see was an archaeologist going in. So yes, listen, we whiten our teeth, we rotate our tires, we lighten the hair color, we trim the ends of our hair, we clip our nails, we put lotion on our skin, we maintain the machine. And
it's just part of keeping the machine.
Well, you're keeping everything intact. And I am a silly scaredy cat when it comes to trying anything new, and you were like, come on, Melissa, you can do this. So it's not damaging, it's not invasive. And I walked up to your house like dun 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 dun. I was anxious, even though I may not have appeared it. Anxious Annie. So but Pepper is so knowledgeable and so soothing that I felt safe with her. And plus she accommodated my 50 million questions before I laid down on the table. And I got the Thermage, and I like that it sounds like age instead of thermage, because I may not have done it, but I got the Thermage, and she, it's the laser across the face, and it's a gentle, and Pepper's got hands like a small child. They're really delicate and tender in touch. She's so good. And I noticed that my skin felt better. And it's only like a week and a half ago, and I'm still noticing little micro benefits every day, like a little bit better every every day when I'm looking at it at night when I'm looking at my skin. And I had good skin to begin with, but it's made it better and it feels good. And so, I mean, if it's going deep into the body and resurrecting the collagen that my body can produce, no harm, no foul.
I agree. I think, you know, and here's the thing, you know, the whole idea behind longevity is that you're inviting your body to work as well as it worked when you were younger, right? That's the idea behind longevity. Yep. Is that you're saying there's no reason that we can't be as active and as vital as possible. So it's gonna take having to do things to activate those things, because as we get older and because of our habits, things start to shut down. So, and even if you have good habits, the things will slow down. So sometimes you need a booster, you know, like, I mean, you know, as a woman, your hormones start getting nutty and, you know, things start not doing what they, you know, like I do bioidentical hormones because that really works for me. I, you know, like it's very individual, and Pepper will talk about this soon, but we are bio-individuals. So everything that works for me isn't going to work for you or everybody else, but it works for me because I knew that that was something that was starting to lack in me. Mm-hmm. And it happened very early on. It's very interesting. And I think the reason it happened early on, dietary reasons, I had been, you know, very extreme with how I ate. And I think that extreme thing actually caused my body to kind of freak out. And so my hormones started shutting, kind of not functioning properly very early on. But now with bioidentical, which is wonderful for me again.
Now what's early on? Do you mind sharing what's early on?
Gosh. Well, I thought it was early. Like, I think I started around 48. I mean, maybe.
No, that's normal, Mary. Mary, that's perimenopause. That's when hormones do start doing the funky chicken.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
start like, well,
So I guess it wasn't early, but I know that my thyroid had actually taken a nosedive. And I think a lot of women have trouble with their thyroids.
Absolutely.
And I think it's because of the environment. I think that pesticides have a lot to do with it, you know, the plastic that's in our water and the amount of plastic that we ingest. Bobby was telling me the other day, he's like, we've got to be so careful with plastic. We're eating a credit card a week. I was like, what? We're eating a credit card a week. I'm like, what's that even mean? If your credit card is this big, that's how much we're eating. We're ingesting it once a week.
It's fascinating. I've been reading about that, and it's fascinating. Yeah. And then on top of that, all the environmental toxins that we're taking in. And listen, I talked to a friend of my daughter's who's attending Columbia. I contacted him recently and said, "Hey, what are your stress levels like?" Because he's on, you know, everything that's happening at Columbia University. And he's like, oh my gosh, I didn't ask them what's going on campus. All I asked them was, what are your stress levels? Oh my gosh, you know, because they're so incredibly high from, and even though they're not participating or actively involved in something, it's still the environment around them. So we have environmental toxins. We're eating a credit card of plastics a week. We got all this stuff coming at us. I mean, it's a daily chore to stay on top of it, but isn't it worth it?
It's so worth it. And that's the thing for me, instead of thinking of this, and I sound like a broken record, but instead of thinking of this as a chore and as a drudgery, I think of it as an adventure. How can I live longer, healthier, more vital with my brain working at optimum? I think that's exciting. I really do. It's why I think, you know, with you and I and what we're doing with our, you know, with this, our little podcast, and we've got our major podcast and our, you know, we've got the expansion channel and the things, I feel like we're at the beginning of something. I don't feel like I'm at the end of my life. This is the third act. Like, oh, you know,
No.
like, I don't know. I just, that's not how I feel.
No, I don't feel
so,
that way either. You know, I was reading, I spoke to a guy this morning, a client that are not really a client, but a guy that I met this morning, and we were talking about the different ages in different cultures and how in some cultures, you're not really considered a man or a female adult until you're in your 40s. Well, in some Asian cultures, it's as old as 50s and even 70s. So the brain doesn't fully develop until you're 25 to 27. So if that's the case, then maturation hitting around 40 and older makes sense because there's a lot for the brain from 25 to 40, 50, or whatever it is your culture believes to catch up to how to process, understand patterns, and how to process information. So yeah, we're at our prime, baby. Prime.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's also helpful for those. Now, I grew up, unlike you, you were in a family, it was like educators and you were all about like doing well in school. Now I was, yes, I had an intellectual family, writer, obviously, but I was very insecure with like education and I wasn't good in school because I was so preoccupied with my mother having cancer and all that stuff that I couldn't focus. So for me to know that I can be my best, okay, I'm 62. I don't care. I can be my best whenever, and I can get better at whatever. That is encouraging to me because I had to spend a lot of years getting over the fact that I didn't feel good about myself and I felt not smart. And, you know, all of that stuff that we say to ourselves that nobody's saying to us, but we're
right
to ourselves because of circumstance. And I think it takes a long time to really understand that circumstance and environment of your childhood. And, you know, I'll go back to Bobby saying, you know, it's 0 to 7. What happened in those 0 to 7 years are so impactful to the rest of your life. You
it's
know,
true.
And I see it in my own children. I see where I was. I see how that is impacting their future. And I'm sure, you know, I see it with your kids, how, you know, you had your children not as young as me. So I think you were more balanced in a sense, you know, like whatever. It's just interesting to me because I think that we really are, we're creatures of getting, you know, you have to go in, you have to dig up that old stuff to just see where it lands with you. And why you behave a certain way. It doesn't make it good or bad. It just means, well, that explains something, you know?
The more open you can be to taking on new, the better you'll get. Because as you know, as Pepper has said to you and to me, if we're willing to abandon habits that no longer serve us, rituals or treatments that no longer work for our better self, then we will continue to get better. So I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. It's so good. Anyway, this is a good show. I think you're really going to enjoy it. So stay where you are because next we have our wonderful guest, Pepper Prudy, and that's it. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Outcomes of Sun Radio. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Outcomes of Sun Radio and podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Melissa Yamaguchi, and I'm here also with a very good friend of both Melissa and mine, who is a specialist in skin. And as you heard in her own intro, she's also, she's been in the dental field for a long time. And I think that Melissa and I have talked about how important our dental hygiene is to the health of our entire body, but having that background is so incredible. Anyway, her name is Pepper Prudy. I'm so sorry. I was like, oh, I forgot to say who you are. she's become like my go-to girl for anything to do with my face. And, you know, in my 60s, I want my face to look good, but you know, you don't want to do extreme things. And coming from the background that I come from, I also don't want to do things that are unhealthy for the inside of my body and also going to look weird and unnatural. So that's why I'm really excited to talk to you today, not only about external products, but also like what is the journey to making skin really vital? Because you talk about a bright, shiny skin, but that takes really a holistic approach. And maybe you could explain kind of how you approach the skin.
Yeah, I think what I've learned from my patients coming in for the last 13 years is a lot of the stuff. Let's start from inside the mouth because oftentimes that's where we first see breakdown with even in the body. And then obviously, I'm working right within inches, right, with my loops on, seeing the tissue of their face. So you start putting things together after 13 years. And what I found is, often what people are doing is they're having this shotgun approach, oh my gosh, my mouth's breaking down. So then they're putting chemicals and all of this stuff. Same thing happens with the face. I'm getting these wrinkles. So they're all of a sudden throwing everything that they don't know about, but they read on a label, it says for the mouth, for example, it's killing bacteria. So I'm going to pour all this stuff in, but guess what it's doing? It's damaging the microbiome. So we're damaging it intraorally, and then oftentimes the products that are put on our face, we're damaging that biome too. So now we've got like kind of a little bit of a disaster. And where do you start? Which for me, inside the mouth, I say, stop doing everything you're doing. Throw away all of your products. And this is because these people are coming into perio, right? They're very damaged, they're broken. So we have to just kind of start over. And it's really going back to, like you said, a holistic approach. And it's dripping little bits at a time. We're not going to do everything all at once on one day, but sometimes it's taking out a lot of the minutiae and sort of starting over. But I love maintaining the microbiome. I think that's so important. So we can talk about what does that mean, and also using products that are.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're saying that the microbiome is not only affecting the health of the mouth, but it's affecting the health of the skin, which
100%.
right? Because it is our second brain, right? Maybe our first brain.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I 100%.
I remember when I first came to you and I got a clear and I did a clear and brilliant. Maybe you can explain what that is too, but I got a clear and brilliant, which is kind of a laser-y, whatever. You're gonna explain that. And it gets off layer, like dead
Yeah.
tissue on the skin and activates your body's ability to create collagen and that kind of thing. So maybe explain that process a
Yeah,
little bit.
explain it, because Mariel made it sound like a pedicure you get in Thailand when the fish are eating your toes. Go ahead.
Yeah, sounds really fun. Everybody wants to do it. Let's do it. Well, again, I like a conservative approach. I like approaches that work. And what I found is that with this laser, there's two different hand pieces, and it creates like tens of thousands of, or thousands, probably tens of thousands, but thousands of microchannels on different depths of the tissue. And what I love is that it's safe for almost all tissue types. Again, we have to circle back to everybody is bio individual. And yes, there are some patients that you may need to take a holiday on in terms of if they're rubbing a Retin-A on their face or they're on an Accutane. Again, those are heavier duty things, if you will. But it's a really beautiful process in terms of regenerating the tissue. We're getting that, but we're also creating these microchannels that allow whatever topical serum. So we want a clean, natural serum or product to put on top of the skin. So we're not burning it off. There's zero risk in terms of like trauma, right? Where we're going to get hyperpigmentation. And again, everybody's bio individual, but for the most part, this is a safe, effective treatment that helps, yes, break up that dead, dull layer of skin and allows that product that you want to place on your skin to help it regenerate and give it a little boost because that cellular turnover slows as we age, and we find we get a duller looking tissue within the pigmentation from maybe sun damage start to kind of surface. And we want to just help boost it, like working out, right? We've got to kind of break down the muscle and then it rebuilds, and it's, you look better. Safe and beautiful treatment.
Awesome. That, and I want to clarify something about aging skin, because I think I've always been confused about this. You know how, say, you look at somebody's skin, they've gotten older, and it looks like their skin is super thick, right? It looks ruddy and thick, but I've also heard that aging skin gets thin. So I'm confused. What's a quality of skin that you want to have?
Well, I think our biotype is all different. It's the same thing I think of in the mouth. I've got people that have good, really thick skin and tissue, and they don't have recession. And then others who are like, well, what did I do? Did I overbrush? It's biotype. It's our phenotype. And it's how we respond to so many things. It's maybe someone who spends more time in the sun, they have maybe a thicker tissue because our skin has built up that resilience to the, some people call it damage. It depends. Others, it's their biotype. Maybe they have thin skin because their mom had thin skin and they haven't really done anything to regenerate it with, you know, lasers that may help support tightening or rebuilding the collagen and elastin. I think a little bit different for everybody, but I think one of the things that I find is you may have thick skin or thin skin, brown skin, light skin. If it appears to have an even tone and texture, you look healthy, right? We're all going to start sagging and bagging as we age a little bit, right? But if we use therapies that help regenerate and support the tissue from a natural approach, if you will, even though they're laser energies. But I think that's one of the things, we're all going to be different, but a thicker tissue would maybe speak to more, they're out in the weather. And so that tissue's a little bit more robust because you're exposed to more of the environment, and also biotype.
Right.
I'm intrigued about
smoking and drinking.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Let's talk smoking and drinking and sagging and bagging, all kinds of things going on. It's like a bad party from the 80s. So my question is on when you look at someone's teeth, mm-hmm. their gum tissue, how they're taking care of it, what all plays into it? I know we talked about the biology of the person, but, and smoking and all that, but what about not just flossing and brushing and all that, but what about the types of food they're consuming? Do you see that play out in their gums and their teeth? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So in terms of food, sometimes people's food is their medicine. So let's talk a little bit about medicine, because by the time I often see them, sometimes I tell them, well, first of all, they're always in the right place. Thing one. Thing two is looking at their medical history, because oftentimes the medication that they take is a contributory factor to their tissue. So for example, a lot of people are on a blood pressure medication. And at this point, your heart is probably more important than maybe having your teeth. Having your teeth, though, affects the quality of your life. But sometimes what happens is that the gums hypertrophy, and they sort of become more bulby and pebbly and larger, if you will. So there's more space for the bacteria to get into. And this is a thing that I see often. So perhaps maybe someone was saying, you need to floss more. I'm here to tell you that no matter how much you floss, that floss only goes down 2 to 3 millimeters from my experience. And sometimes this tissue creates a space and a place for the bad bacteria to live. So oftentimes I've had to talk with the cardiologist and maybe we switch them from a calcium channel blocker to maybe some other, a beta blocker, a different kind of medicine. And then over time, after some laser therapy, we can reduce the height of these bulbous gums that are trapping this bacteria, right? It's the, again, microbiome shifts. And so now we have more of the bad bacteria, and then they're stressed. So the gingival crevicular fluid, which we all have that juice in our mouth, becomes, it starts to support more of that anaerobic, the bad bacteria, because of cortisol starts dripping out of the pockets. And the bad bacteria say, this is exactly what we love. So that's medicine. And we can dive, we could probably talk for days about that. But stress, you guys talk about like managing stress. That is huge because people produce then cortisol and then it shifts the, again, here we go, microbiome. Yeah. So I think in terms of diet, just alcohol, I can see what it does to the tissue in the mouth. The smell, you know, it again shifts the environment to not be optimal. And so it'll wreck the gums. The gums start breaking down. So again, tissue inside the mouth, along with outside the mouth, you get your vitamin B deficiencies, right? Because that's what, so these nutrients, and everybody's popping pills, right? Antibiotics, free medication, your hips replaced, just had, you know, my other shoulder done. It's a constant thing. So then again, we kill all the good bacteria. And then, you know, here we digress. I would wish that every, it would be nice to hand them a wellness kit, an aftercare kit, that here's what you need to put back into your body. Here's all the prebiotics, probiotics, throw away that toothpaste because it has an FDA approved insecticide in it. And right now you're so compromised, you're absorbing all of that. So I think that if we have better solutions, because there's always going to be a problem, but it's having a solution for them to start with products that are more friendly, microbiome friendly to the body, and really help support our body so that we can stay, you know, functioning our hormones, because it ruins our hormones. I mean, I have a dear friend, he's a fabulous, physician, and he deals with women's health and men's health when it comes to hormones. And we share stories, and his story was one of his clients was mouthwashing all the time with Listerine. What could possibly go wrong with mouthwashing all the time? Does anybody want to guess?
I mean, I'm going to guess your toes fall off or something horrible. What happens? What is it?
He's coming to this hormone specialist, and well, and says,
did it cut down his ability to have an erection? Oh, the hip bone is connected to the femur bone. Wow.
Wow.
Hey, fellas.
Yes.
Throw the Listerine away. Hey, fellas. Wow. I had no idea.
So what it was is probably the alcohol, right? But then alcohol is everything, right? And maybe a few other little things that I get it. We want to kill the bacteria, but the problem is it's not like a laser. It is not selective in targeting the pigmented shell, which is typically a bad bacteria. So what happened was, it killed the bacteria, all right, which is a win.
And all the good bacteria as well.
Correct. And the good bacteria makes the testosterone. So you have to have bacteria. So his testosterone was low, but then he said, stop doing all that stuff that you're doing.
Fred, live with some stinky breath. Let's keep everything south of the equator working. Oh my God, true.
But also, if you don't have a good, healthy microbiome, your breath's going to stink anyway. If you get a healthy microbiome, you're not going to have a stinky mouth unless you did a lot of garlic, which Bobby did the other night.
I do not advise that. Meryl says, tonight I'm Count Dracula and I'm out. Yeah.
It's crazy. Oh, man.
Man, but that is amazing. You know, I think probably the most important thing is we always talk on the show about the connection that our whole body has and how we're not segregated here. The left hand does need to know what the right hand's doing and so forth. And to think that the choices that you make, as benign as they seem, because all of our marketing in print, on radio, on television, movies, all of our marketing is promoting us food, 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 but no one's making any connection, connection, connection. We kind of saw a little bit as a world during COVID when people were starting to recognize that people in certain areas who had predominantly fast food were not faring as well when they were getting sick or whatever the connections were, right? But we, before that, I think we just kind of blindly walked into just food. We're in a hurry. I'll just stop by and get a Taco Bell burrito or whatever we were doing. And what you're saying is, well, we talk about it a lot on here, so it's not mind blowing. It is a little bit, the Listerine thing's got me rolling, but the connection to it, we understand here, but I know our audience is loving this. What are some tips that you can teach us that we need to be doing to take care of teeth and mouth and stomach and skin and hair?
Yeah, because I think a lot of that all goes hand in hand. If the tissue inside the mouth is breaking down, the tissue outside is also compromised. Yeah. And I think it's just kind of being gentle to ourselves. I think that oftentimes a lot of my patients, they're so overwhelmed, right? Because it's this rain barrel effect and it's an accumulation to where they're like, I need to cease existing as a human because everything I'm doing from what I'm hearing you say isn't working well. So it's really being just kind and saying, this isn't something you're 40 or 50 or 60 or 30. This is something that's been going on for 30 or 40 or 50 years. So we're not going to change everything right here, right now in this red hot moment. But also some of this isn't your fault because we all come from different backgrounds and it's not always just you didn't brush enough, you didn't floss enough, you didn't wear enough sunscreen. But it's really approaching everybody again with a gentleness of here, these are probably some of the things contributing to what's not going well for you, but here are a few solutions that might work better. And it's just then giving them, you know, some possible solutions to some major problems. And then, less is more sometimes, you know, I think less is more, but I have tips and tricks in terms of trying to get them off of a lot of what they are currently doing. And whether it's skin as well, you know, just saying, let's go back to something a little bit more simple and then we'll build on it. And then let's talk a little bit about diet and then, maybe share a few
things. Can you give some examples of what those things that you would eliminate are and what you would add to somebody who's just wanting to start out and start out slow? It's like, we're not trying to change your entire life, but if you wanted to see an improvement, I mean, let's get back to skin. Let's see, you want to see an improvement in your skin and the quality and the health of your skin. What would you say to limit or possibly get rid of if you could, or, you know, just give us some specific examples. I think it's always nice when people can go, I understand that. I can get that. I can get rid of that.
I could do that. Yeah. Well, smoking and drinking alcohol are like, if you want to change the way your skin looks, those are slam dunks. Yeah. You will look 10 years younger, your mouth will. And because, you know, again, when we think about smoking or even tobacco, it's a vasoconstrictor. Mm-hmm. And so it constricts, right? And then you've got the black or the smoke. So those are carcinogens, right? So you're ambushing your tissue, skin, and, you know, vasoconstrictor. So those are hands down, if you stopped all that. And then I would say also, we're all bio-individual, but sometimes, and I'm not trying to slam energy drinks or caffeine, but sometimes those can cause people to break out a little bit because it kind of affects our hormones, right? Those would be examples of maybe the mocha that I'm having. It's the perfect combo of sugar and caffeine. I'll drink one. So I'll talk personally for myself. If I drink one right now, tomorrow when I wake up, I'll have two zits. I don't get zits, but I know that if I do that, I'll have that. So caffeine and sugar, right? Mm-hmm. That for me and mocha, whatever's in that stuff, that doesn't sit well for me, but I figured it out over the years. Things that you can, you know, take supplement. I'm sure there's lots of good other products. I don't want to necessarily promote them, but there are other things that you can drink that do have caffeine that may not trigger such an inflammatory response. I have, you know, my water, my molecular hydrogen water. I love that. That's great because that's a free radical scavenger. So it's going to sweep up and support my immune system.
I'm going to interrupt here because I want to tell people what molecular hydrogen water is and how you do it. Because there's, you can get little hydrogen, you know, you can get the little tablets that you put in your water that makes it a hydrogen water. And it is a profound, powerful way to just, I don't know. I always feel really good when I remember to do hydrogen water daily. Sometimes I forget, but you know, there's so many things to do, but I just, you can get that Dr. Mercola. Yeah. It's a good brand. There are other brands on, you know, that you can look them up, but there are hydrogen pills. You throw them in water and you drink it within 90 seconds. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted people to know what that was.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. I forget. Sometimes I say things and there's hydrogen is a very ambiguous term for the most part, because sometimes they think it's a more alkaline water. And I think, well, we don't necessarily want that because our stomach has to be acidic, because that's what breaks open our food and allows us to absorb, you know, our nutrients. And there's this whole cascading effect that happens. So we don't, you know, we like the molecular hydrogen.
You know, the alkaline acid thing, because that's, you know, that's such a big thing right now. Yes. Everybody, drink alkaline water. It's 9 point. You know, and I got into that for a while. And then I started finding that when I drank too much alkaline water, I was actually not feeling that good. And I didn't know why. I thought, but it's alkaline water. But then you realize, yes, we're very acidic. I mean, most people have such acidic diets, and, you know, fast food and caffeine and all that stuff makes for an acidic diet, which makes your acidity level too high, but you can also go be too out, right? So you need, it's always about, like, how do you find that balance?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely, we need to be acidic in certain areas. We need to have bacteria. It's just, we need to have the right kinds, and we need to have the acid where it needs to be and that portion of our tummy where it belongs to help, you know, our nutrients be bioavailable. So yes, the molecular hydrogen, it just supports, it doesn't take out anything from your body in terms of your own body's oxidative and antioxidant responses. It just helps support whatever's extra, if you will. It's like a free radical scavenger. So it doesn't say, hey, I'm going to be melatonin, or hey, I'm going to be glutathione, or I'm going to be something. It's not, it's just a gas, and it just kind of goes to wherever it is. And if there's extra, your body is still going to have its normal antioxidant abilities to signal and function. So it's going to support, like CBD does, it supports your own endogenous system. It doesn't tell the system, hey, this key pathway, slow down, I got you, get lazy. It's not working like a medication. Medications do those things to our bodies, and then we have, or then really reliant on them. But that's something else.
You brought up CBD, and I want you to talk a little bit about CBD. I want you to talk about CBD and how it can be beneficial for the skin, but also just overall our wellness, because I know that it activates the endocannabinoid system, which people don't realize what that is. Maybe you could explain that to us.
Well, we mammals all have an endocannabinoid cannabinoid system. We have many different systems that function our body, that help support our body from, you know, fight or flight to, and we need all of these systems, but what we don't need is a product that we're taking that can cause like too much alkalinity, not good. We want something that just supports our own innate ability to function, but just supports it. I think of oftentimes when we eat healthy in our foods, we extract what we need out of them, right? Our minerals, our vitamins, our cofactors, everything that helps keep us well. But because of the world we live in, I feel like with the endocannabinoid system, our bodies are kind of more on this adrenal fatigue. We're in traffic, we're rushed. This is going to help sort of tell our body to like, not tell it not what to do, but to support it, to provide that extra support, because we're kind of blown up on the launching pad daily. If we could go meditate every day and really work on that from our brain, maybe we wouldn't need it, but that's not where we're at. So if we take something that helps support the body, that's awesome. And it does so many other beautiful things.
Well, I think what's interesting about the endocannabinoid system is that I think that we kind of shut ours down for many, many years because people weren't farming hemp. I mean, it was what you were a hemp farmer. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. Like, that's really cool. You know, hemp was one of the biggest crops back at, you know, before the 1950s or 60s when it became, you know, like, oh, this is pot and this is bad and, you know, we're going to shut it all down. But it actually is part of our whole, you know, it's activating a system that lies within us. So I think it's important to have it as a supplement or something, because we're not walking on ground that is absorbing the nutrients from the ground. I don't know. I find it fascinating that from what you're saying, everything is so interconnected.
Yeah. What I love is that it does so many good things for the environment as well. And that's one of the things I think when you're growing hemp, it's neutralizing the earth, right?
Yeah.
You can make hempcrete and buildings out of it. It may take a little bit more, but I think like anything in the world, there's this pendulum. We have something that's working, but somebody wants something a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, a pill to pop. Maybe it's marketed better. I've seen things where people are purchasing simply because, well, why are we doing that over there? Maybe it sounds easier. It's new, right? They did better marketing. So off with that until we find that this that we're taking 5 or 10 or 15 years from now, this doesn't work well anymore with whatever that may be, pills, medication. You don't need that. That stuff is natural. Farmers can grow that, right? Who's making the money? Well, maybe the farmers are, but it's not maybe big pharma. And so, you know, but then we circle back 100 years later when we realize, hey, that actually did work and that's serving us well. And, you know, it should be talked about and there should be options.
Yeah.
Not a pill.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's our new tagline: options, not a pill.
So good.
I like it. I like everything that you've taught us, because our, you know, simplifying this chaotic life is really a strive for most of us, even if we don't know it. Even if we're a young mom or dad running around trying to get our kids and they've joined soccer and we're trying to throw everything in the back of the car and we're running from whatever it is. And we sit down at the end of the day, no matter what level of life we're at, and we always think, oh God, it's got to be an easier way. Well, there is an easier way. And the easier way is to pull back and look at all of your rituals. Marielle calls them her rituals in the morning, what she does. And hers are healthy. But for the rest of the world who's looking at their daily rituals, what do I do when I wake up? What am I doing to take care of my teeth? What am I putting in my stomach? What am I putting in my brain? What am I? And really owning the choices that you make. And you're telling us that pull it back, simplify it, clean it up, and understand this amazing connection between the brain, the mouth, the heart, the gut. It just feeds the entire body.
Yeah. I think am asking why. And so whenever I take something or I'm learning, well, I want to know just a little bit more than somebody handing me, well, what is in this? Well, how does it work? And then I dive into it a little bit more. And I've just found that nobody is going to get it all right. And none of us are going to make it out of here, you know, alive, right? But I've found that, yes, sometimes simplifying it is better, and asking the why and diving into it a little bit more. But also the power of suggestion is quite huge. And there are studies where if you're taking this placebo, right, and you say this works, what they find is that it actually didn't work better than the sugar pill. But because everybody was so on the same page, united in terms of provider, you are going to do well, then they do well simply because we're telling them they're going to do well. Mm-hmm. So I think I just, like, my dad was a farmer, so I dive into, I have a little bit more understanding of, you know, how, where things come from the earth. And then I research it a little bit more. And when somebody hands me a pill, I think to myself, oh no, what is that going to do to me 10 years from now? So if I take CBD, it's probably not going to do anything to me. But if I'm taking that powdered pill, and I don't know exactly where is that. Well, now I see with my older patients. Now, we're learning later. And for me, that just doesn't work well. I would know. And then I like the science part. So for example, like vitamin C's, I like a vitamin C that you can almost reconstitute it right then and there. That way it's fresh. Because what does vitamin C do over time when you've reconstituted the vitamin C with, let's say, an oil, your A or your E, vitamin E? It starts to oxidize. So it's good while it's fresh, but then when it turns orange, you might need to throw it away because it's like, I don't know, bad milk in your refrigerator. You know, good things for you go bad, which is a good sign that it's probably a good thing, but just understanding how it works and affects.
Well, yeah, it begs the question of our desire for convenience. And is that really healthy for us, you know, at the end of the day? You are amazing. You have to come back, and you will, because we have so much more to talk about. I mean, I feel like we just scratched the surface, but there's so much more to talk about. And we've come to the end of our time talking today. So you got to come back, obviously, because we got to talk more about skin and products and everything. But thank you so much. Amazing resource for me and an amazing friend. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm JJ Flazanes. I'm an empowerment strategist and the creator of the Empowering Minds Network. I specialize in helping people to rewire their core wound patterns by creating their core wound map. And you can find out more information about my podcasts and about what I'm doing at jjflazanes.com. And you're listening to Out Comes the Sun with Meryl Hemingway and Melissa Yamaguchi.
Oh, that was fun. I love her. She's such a wealth of information.
Rolls off her like it's nothing.
Over her, I was like, I just asked her so many questions, and she took a before, and I don't like before and after pictures. They really bug me. I'm like, no, because you're usually like just disgusting light. And she says, I'm not going to put it on my website or anything like that. But I have to say that she did a before, and several months later, she did an after doing a clear and brilliant. And I've been doing a vitamin C and a collagen supplement that was like active, or, you know, like alive. She was talking about fresh.
Yeah.
And there's a significant difference.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want to give a PSA to our audience. If anything in your refrigerator is ever orange outside of orange juice, get rid of it.
Orange or green?
She's talking about vitamin C being orange like milk or something. And I was just like, anything orange. Anything orange, we let go of. We let go.
Let it go.
So I think, you know, I think it's fascinating. And I love Pepper's, you just push a button and she just starts rolling out with information. She can talk about just about anything. She's so learned. And I'm excited. We got to set it up somehow so our audience can give us feedback. Like if they take on these tips, you know, like some of the clues and tips on what are the little things they can do to get better. Let's challenge our audience to go to either your Instagram page or mine on some, grab any of them and just say, hey, I listened to your episode with Pepper and this is what I learned.
Yeah. We'll answer questions or we'll ask the people that we spoke to answer them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great idea. And maybe we'll come up with something.
We'll come up with some questions. We'll do it. We can do that.
Oh my gosh. Thank you everybody for listening to Outcomes of Sun. I'm Mariel Hemingway and I'm here with my fabulous friend, Melissa Yamaguchi. And we'll see you next time. We love doing this. And remember, we're doing this for the Mariel Hemingway Foundation.org, which is a resource navigator. Hasn't happened yet, but with your support, it will. And it will happen soon. Okay. Thank you.